All right, well, good morning. Got a little tabletop here. I'm going to have some breakfast in front of you guys. Not true. Hey, I do want to take a moment for us as brothers and sisters to pray. I'd mentioned earlier how we've had teams go out this past week to go and serve in a variety of capacities through our student ministry. We actually have some friends going out today to go to Kerrville. And so the Puck, who you've seen, some of you've seen before, is leading a team to go down there to kind of serve and minister with all the tragedy that happened over the past week and a half. And so what we want to do as brothers and sisters is just pray for them. Corporately, it's a time where we get together and just unite under the blood of Christ and seek his face. So let's do that together. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to pray for those that are leaving today to go to Kerrville. I pray that your spirit would be with them, give them the wisdom of when to speak, Lord, when to be quiet, when to listen. Lord, I pray that you would just use them as instruments of grace and mercy, as just extensions of you there. Lord, I thank you that we get to be a church that's sending people to be part of things greater than ourselves, and I thank you for this in Jesus' name, amen. So church, over the past few weeks and over the next couple weeks, we're talking about this work, this uncommon work that God does. And so what we're dealing with more than anything is God working through common people like me and you, through common circumstances, but in an uncommon way. Common people, common circumstances, but in an uncommon way. And so we're dealing with Caleb today, and before we unpack more about Caleb, we have an opportunity to talk about him in a moment with one of our friends and his dad. He's kind of got a bodyguard. He's that cool, so he's got a bodyguard. We'll introduce him. But before that, the way that we get to this story of Caleb, which is powerful, so the people of Israel, God has done this work. If you were here last week when Daniel shared with us, Daniel shared about Moses. And so God used Moses and his relationship with being one who was part of the Egyptian royalty for a bit. But ultimately, he was a Hebrew. He was a person of God's people. And then God used it to deliver God's people. And so using plagues, which is powerful and crazy, he used plagues to deliver them, and then he delivered them on dry land through the Red Sea. All this just miraculous work, and these people watched God do these things, but for some reason, it didn't take root in everyone that God was able to do this miraculous work of saving and redeeming people. But this is where we get. And so a little bit over a year after having been there, Moses chose 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Jacob, to scout out the land before entering the promised land that God had said that they would have a promised land flowing with milk and honey that was very fruitful. Among those men was a guy named Caleb who was representing the tribe of Judah. Judah, if those of you who have studied the genealogy of Jesus, like came through that line of Judah. And so Caleb representing them was one of the men that spied out the land for 40 days, and they came back to give a report to Moses and to the people. And they reported, Joshua and Caleb reported, hey, look, we can do this. I'll quote him here in a second where he said, basically, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. That's what he said, and Joshua echoed. However, the other 10 spies got to the point where they were terrified and so used their fear to testify of their fear. And in fact, they made this statement. They said, these are giants. And if you're old enough to know this and you come from a Southern Baptist background, there was this pastor named R.G. Lee, who pastored in Memphis for a long time before Adrian Rogers was there. And he had a famous sermon called Grasshoppers in the Land of Giants, referring to this text of scripture. And that's what the 10 spies saw. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, meaning like insects in the land of giants. And they thought there was no way possible for God to deliver that land to them. Now, Joshua and Caleb, just like the other 10 spies, just witnessed God deliver them from the most powerful country in Egypt, just saw them do this work where they made them walk on dry land and do all these plagues, but it was too powerful for God to deliver them as grasshoppers in the land of giants. That's what they thought. So what happened was many of the people got to the point where they heard the fear of these other 10 people, and throughout the night they were crying and weeping throughout the night, and they woke up so mad the next day that they were like, we would rather have been killed in Egypt than endure this. Listen to that audacity. And they got to the point where they wanted to stone and kill Joshua and Caleb for being the positive voices in this. And so here's where we get to this point where really it's kind of where God is exceedingly angry with those people as a result of their testimony, and he threatened to destroy them. But Moses interceded for those people, and he relented, but he decreed that the people would wander in the wilderness until all the faithless generation had died. So anybody that was part of that group of people that was over the age of 20 would die except for Joshua and Caleb. And they would be able to go to the promised land. And this is kind of a powerful thing. And this is what God says of Caleb. He says, for my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and he follows me wholeheartedly. And he gave that promise to Caleb, and Caleb depended on it and trusted it. And here's what we know to be true through God's word is the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all of that generation except Joshua and Caleb died. After 40 years of wandering and 5 more years of war with Canaan, they got to go in to the promised land. Now, with that in mind, I want to invite Crew and his old man up here. Jonathan, if you guys would come up. Crew, yeah, he's like, no, you first. Crew's 10 years old. He'll turn 48 next year. He's got this maturity gap thing. That's his superpower. How are we doing? Hey, we didn't die the first service. How cool is that?
It's really cool.
It's really cool. Okay. Here we go, Pops. Okay. So, tell me about your family. Who we got here?
We got my little sister back there.
She's back there, May, making sure everybody's safe. Good. Okay. He'll get you here in a second. He's running. See him? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're good now? Mm-hmm. So, little sister. Mm-hmm. Who else we got? Okay. Got you. Okay.
My older brother, Max.
Max, with the nice hair.
My mom.
And my dad. Okay, we got grandpa, too. We got Lauren. We got grandma, right, with a pretty dress on and a nice cardigan. Okay, let's be honest. She's awesome, isn't she? Okay, what's the coolest thing she ever gives you, like consistently? Like little Debbie cakes?
Money.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was short selling it with the little Debbie cakes. Okay, whatever, man. Okay, so money. Okay, so tell me about this old guy. His name's Dad, right? That's what he was born with. They called him Dad to begin with. What's his name?
Jonathan,
okay. So tell me about Jonathan. What does he do?
He's an airline pilot at American Airlines.
An airline pilot. Here, let me see your pack real quick. It's green. We're good. It's just, okay, we can use the mic. It's all good. We can use this. We're good. So he's an airline pilot, which is not a scary job at all, is it?
It's pretty scary.
It's pretty scary? Okay. Would you be scared? Okay. Well, thanks for like making your dad feel safe. Okay. So Jonathan, tell me about you and your wife and how you met, how long you've been married, all that kind of stuff.
All right. So that's my wife, Maggie, and we have been together for 20 years, married for 15 now, and she loves this story, so... How we met, Maggie went to another college a couple hours away, and we had a mutual friend from high school, and she was in town visiting, and we were at an event, and I see Maggie from across the room. She's looking particularly annoyed. It's getting late. She's ready to leave. So, being the person who likes to mess with other people, I casually just stroll over to her. And she was standing there, agitated, and she had one arm like this and the other arm hanging down. So I said, are we a little teapot? And she has been putty in my hands ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, guys, I shared a few weeks ago about using the pickup line of asking the waitress to put her number on there. I think teapot tops that. So I'm just throwing that out there, guys. If you really want to know weight of a woman's heart, say she looks like a teapot. That'll do it every time. Okay.
20 years.
All right, here we go. We got evidence. Okay, so good. So that's how you met. So what colleges were you guys going to?
I went to Northwestern State, and she was in nursing school. She had transferred from LSU, and she was at McNeese.
Okay.
In Charles, so she was in town visiting her high school friend.
Got it. Okay. So real quick, I want to ask you, what ways have you helped other guys who are like nervous or scared or anything like that? Has there ever been a time where you did that?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
So every year for the past 2 years, we've taken the STAR test, and some of my friends got nervous, and I helped them to calm down. I basically told them they're the same person, whether they do bad or good. So that helped them calm down, and they did really good.
It's good. Isn't it neat to be anchored in who you already are? That's a good thing. So did you do good on the test?
Yes.
Your master's?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sweet, sweet, sweet. It was easy for you to say then. Okay, so real quick. Now, Dad, as a pilot, as a dad, as a husband, tell me some of the ways that you face scary things but still overcome.
So, at least at work, in flying, dangers come from everywhere. You can do everything correct and still danger somehow gets through. So the key is to stay calm, right? Take a deep breath. Always, that's my number one rule is when something is happening, just allow myself 1 second to go, and then kind of like today, right now.
Yeah.
So,
little practice.
Little practice, right? You know, as a husband, you know, it's scary to be the leader of the family, right? And as a father, it's scary for you're scared for your kids all the time. You're always terrified for what they might go through, what they might see. But the key is to always know that Jesus is the answer, to make sure you show them and lead them that way, and then everything else kind of falls by the wayside.
Yeah, it's good. It is scary being a dad. I don't know if you know that. You'll find out, I'm certain. So tell me this. You have the favorite sport, right? Mm-hmm. Table tennis, is that what it is? What is it?
It's soccer.
Soccer, oh, okay. So soccer, what is so awesome about soccer?
It's a really fast-paced game, and I just love that it's back and forth really fast.
Okay, really fast. Okay, I asked you earlier, so you're really fast too, right?
Kind of.
Okay, and so I would do good at it because I'm fast, right?
No.
Okay. Okay, so who would you say, I asked you earlier, but just so everybody else knows too, who's the GOAT of soccer?
Messi,
okay. Okay, not Pele.
No.
Okay.
He's close.
Okay. Okay. So we got a bunch of good soccer players. Now, you ever get afraid to play a soccer game with other like big kids?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So tell me this: you and your dad did some research. I want to share with you guys behind the scenes. So one of the things that we care a great deal about here at Grace, and Sarah said it a moment ago. We want parents to own their responsibility of being the primary disciple makers in their home. Okay. We make no bones about that. And we will do our part as the body of Christ to support that, supplement that. And sometimes what happens is some of these young men are back there when I'm preaching, writing their own sermons because they're bored of mine. And so this is crew. So a couple months back, Jonathan shared that with me and you know, gave me a picture of it. And of course, you know, it was a little bit better than mine. He's right. And so what I did is I asked these guys, because I knew we were going to be talking about this. I was like, hey, here's some notes. You guys study it together, and then you guys share it with us. And so what I love that these two did, Jonathan and crew got together, probably made it a family deal, to be honest with you. Brother and sister probably know more about Caleb than they ever did. But as a result, these guys studied Caleb, and they're bringing this today after their time together as father and son studying Caleb. And so if you would, share me some of your notes, some sermon notes. And we got it like in, it says sermon notes up here from crew so that you guys get to hear a little bit about why Caleb is so important.
Nothing would stop Caleb from trusting in the Lord. Number two, Caleb had true faith, which means even through the hardships, Caleb trusted God's promises. Number 3, Caleb's name means dog. He was like a pit bull, always having relentless faith in the Lord.
Yeah, a pit bull. Okay. So earlier I said Chihuahua, but what about a poodle? Poodle?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bold. Look, curls, they're sneaky. Okay, keep going.
And number 4, when the other 10 spies doubted, Caleb and Joshua said they could conquer the land of Canaan.
So the thing I want us to see that's really powerful, that's encouraging to me, especially from these notes, is it would have been so easy and normative for Caleb just to blend in with everybody else instead of stand out and stand for the Lord and God's ability to save the people. That would have been so easy, but he didn't. So that's something to take. So here's the, we got Cruise Clues, okay? So we got a few things. Look, there it is. We got it this time. What are Cruise Clues that give us characteristics that we can learn from Caleb?
Faith, courage, and perseverance.
All right, so let's go through this. Faith, so we already determined he trusted God and his promises. He believed even though there were great challenges because, like the other guy said, there were grasshoppers in the land of giants, and Caleb and Joshua urged the Israelites to trust God and to conquer the land, even though the other 10 spies were spreading fear. Here's what's cool. They had faith that God could, even though the other people doubted, okay? The other thing, courage. I love this because they could have easily just believed it and never said anything. But they had courage to stand up and have an active faith and to actually tell other people around them that it was, that honestly, God was able to do this. They could have been passive and afraid, but they were not. They were vocal. He was not afraid to confront the rest of the nation, and he maintained this, which we're going to talk about in a second, as the Van Andels read for us, all the way up to age 85, which is super young, right? Your dad's what, 86? How old is he? He's 86. Okay. And then the other clue here, it's all good, is perseverance. So clues number 3, perseverance. He wandered and waited in the wilderness with everyone else, even though it was not his fault. So I know this never happened to you as the middle kid. Us middle kids got to see one another, right? Where your brother or your sister does something and you got to take the punishment for something they did. Mm-hmm. Never happened to you. Maybe. Okay. And so same with Caleb. And then he endured the same trials and hardships as everyone else who had disobeyed. But God was determined to serve the Lord. Caleb was determined to serve the Lord. Now, final thing. Is there anything else that you guys would share with us that we need to learn?
Well.
If not, that's okay.
Just that Caleb was a great example from the Old Testament that qualities that we should all, as Christians, should carry with us.
Yeah, it's good. So these 3, Cruise Clues, faith, courage, and perseverance. Thank you guys for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. You guys give him a hand. Hey, so it is not easy to be up here if you don't do it normally. And that he was brave enough to come with his dad is a big deal. So I'm grateful for you guys in that. It means a lot to me to be able to serve alongside of you. I want to share this text of scripture that the Van Andels read for us that really illustrate those 3 clues, right? Faith, right? Courage, and perseverance. Look at verse 7 with me of Joshua 14. It says this here. I want you to see it. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. I want you to see this. He's like, this word of boldness and courage that we as a nation could have taken over the land. It was in my heart. But notice this contrast, verse 8. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Like they sensed the testimony for me, and I gave it from my heart. I testified of God's ability, yet their heart melted from what they said. He says, despite that, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, what I want you to see here His faith, his courage, his willingness to stand up in the face of this. And then finally, as we're going to see, his perseverance. But like his willingness to defy the odds of those around them. Any of them would have just blended in and took the safe way out. Really took the easy way out. But he rejected the easy way because he wanted to make sure that he was standing for his faith and he was doing so courageously. Keep going. And Moses swore on that day, he says, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. That's the second time. The key thing about Caleb and all these characteristics of faith, courage, and perseverance is that he followed the Lord his God. Now, if we were to fast forward real quick to the day of your burial, when someone's going to be testifying about your life before friends and family, will they be able to say that you followed the Lord your God with your whole life, that you are faithful to the Lord your God? Or will they have to create something else to say about you? I love this about Caleb. Yes, he had the characteristics of faith, courage, and perseverance. But what was this, the thing under that thing was the fact that he followed after the Lord his God. He was faithful to God. Keep going. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said these 45 years since that time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. Now, real quick, so that's 85 years, which he's going to say here in a second. Like, he's saying that God has been faithful, steady the entire time for 45 years, even though I've been through the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Now, if we were to stop there, we'd be like, yeah, me too. Like, we're feeling that way. And I don't think anybody in this room is in their 80s. We got a bunch of spring chickens in here. Like, I would say most of us in this room are probably younger. We haven't even spent 45 years on the planet yet, much less the 40 that he mentioned earlier. But here's the thing I want you to check. His confidence in who he was. Notice this verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in that day Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. You want to know why his strength is the same at 40 as it is 85? Because it's not his strength to begin with. It's not his. He's not sitting there as some old man at a barber shop talking about all the whippersnappers that he could beat up and take out back. No. He understands that the same God that would have delivered them when he was 40 years old is the same God that's going to deliver him when he's 85 years old. That type of long obedience, as Eugene Peterson calls it, long obedience in the same direction, that we would continually seek after and trust the Lord despite the circumstances and the obstacles in and around us. That's important to pay attention to. Keep going. So he says this, and so that day, now how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities, it may be, he says, that the Lord will bless me and I shall drive them out as the Lord has said. I want us to understand some of these qualities here. Unwavering faith in God's promises. Do you have an unwavering faith in God's promises? Many of us would say, absolutely. I trust his word. I follow after it. But for some of us, we find moments, whether we mean to or not, where we bail and we kind of just take an exit ramp away from and just deviate away from God's promises. And what I love is he was willing to do this despite the obstacles. He could have at any moment been like everybody else and said, hey, look, you're right, 45 years. He gave that promise like 38 years ago. He gave that promise this far ago. It's easy for me just to not trust that he's going to do it. But he kept his faith. Next thing we see is he remained steadfast. He remained courageous, even to the point where he at 85 is ready to go at war with the Anakim. That God would fulfill his promise, that God was able to do this work. And then he serves as an example of perseverance and trust in God's divine providence. One of the things that is really hard, and I want to own this with you, it is really hard to persevere. It is really hard when you hear of hard things happening in other people's lives to continue to persevere. It's really hard when you see those things happen in your life or those who are close to you to persevere. But you need to know it's not about your perseverance. It's about God who is faithful. And many of us need to like have a reset of that truth about the God who is faithful, about God who is faithful to do more than we can ever ask or imagine, about God who is able to do these things because he promised and that we should trust him. So what about you? With these clues, do you have faith that is active? Meaning that you are willing to do what God's word says, even if what God's word says is hard? Do you have the courage to be firm, willing to stand despite opposition? Or maybe for most of us, like I said, do you have the strength to persevere, to endure, willing to go through whatever it takes because God's word says that he's going to deliver you and be present with you despite what you go through? It may take 45 years. Many of us find a way to kind of bail out after 5 minutes. But God's with us. It's really easy to watch the news and be discouraged. I want to remind us, and I try to do this with regularity, this is not your home. You're like, Lewis, I know it's a church building. No, I mean, this zip code that you live in is not your home. You need to know that there is a promised land. And it is more fruitful, more perfect than the best dream you could ever dream. And the best thing about it is not the eternal life. The best thing about this eternity is the God on the throne. The Savior who came to redeem and ransom me and you. That's our home. Our home is in him. So if you're here today and you're kind of stirred up a little bit, what should my faith be in? It should be in the one on the throne. What gives me courage is, well, he stood for me. And then to think about, what do I get to persevere for? You get to persevere to see the one who redeemed and ransomed you and called you by name. What I want to do is I want to pray for us. I have on here 1 Peter 3, 13 to 16, and I want to encourage you to read that. I think we need to pray. I think many of us in this room need to have a moment where we seek the Lord together. And we just kind of place our trust in him completely. Because it's so easy just to blend in with what the crowd is saying. But we need to know that God is faithful. And I'm going to pray that God would show and reveal that to you today. Let's pray. Father, as we sang earlier, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take you at your word. Lord, I pray that you would help those in this room who've yet to do that, to trust in you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, your power and presence would rest on this place, that you would soften hearts, Lord, that those who don't know you yet, who have not trusted you yet, that you would bring them near. Help them see how sweet it is to trust you, to take you at your word. Lord God, help those who are followers of you to have deep faith, courageous faith, and persevering faith. Lord, we thank you so much for this time, for this moment where we as brothers and sisters get to claim and proclaim together the goodness and grace of you. We thank you for this and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing.